Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We have been looking at what God prophesies about how the world will be after the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a much different world than what we see today. Better in every way. The earth and humanity will flourish physically and spiritually. We're going to see physical healing, physical abundance, physical wealth, and we're going to see the same thing spiritually. They're very much tied together. God gives us physical examples to teach about spiritual principles. And this is true when it comes to physical water, as we will see as we go through today's program. Now, it's no surprise that there is a lot of pollution on the earth today. The world's waterways are very often polluted. According to the NRDC, some 80% of the world's wastewater is dumped, largely untreated, back into the environment, polluting rivers, lakes, and oceans. In some least developed countries, the figure tops 95%. All types of wastewater being dumped back into the regular water supply. And, of course, what happens is the water becomes very polluted. And it's hard to find water that's clear and pure today and clean. It has to be treated in many cases. They've done some studies on what tap water in major U.S. cities has in it. And then some pretty startling information about some of the things that can be found in there, including people's prescription drugs on a certain level. And that's, of course, not in every case, but in some cities. So there is a big problem with polluted water today, and the results of it are terrible. British poet W.H. Auden once noted that thousands have lived without love, not one without water. So, of course, we need love in our lives as well, but I think it's a good point. We need water very much. Physically, we need it. We know if we don't have it, we know pretty quickly. We're talking about much more than just physical water, though. We're talking about a spiritual picture. And when Christ returns, the waters are going to be healed on this earth physically. But it also shows us a lot about what God is going to do spiritually. And that's what we're taking a look at in this program. God is going to rid the earth of pollution. That's great news, including water pollution. How is he going to do it? And what can we learn spiritually from physical water? Let's find out. We're going to need our Bibles today. So if you have a Bible with you, please look up these passages with me and see what God says about how this earth's water systems are going to be healed and what that means for us spiritually as well. Let's notice Zechariah 14 and verse 4 to start with. This is a picture of Christ's return to this earth. It says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." So I think people know where that mountain is today. Mount of Olives, people do television programs from there quite often, religious programs. Key of David presenter Gerald Fleury has done several programs from that location because it is such an important location. Christ is going to return. He's going to stand there, and that Mount of Olives is going to split in two. Continuing on here in Zechariah 14, look at verse 8. It says, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." Living waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem. What a fantastic picture. These are going to be amazing waters, healing waters. Now when it says the former sea, It's talking about the Dead Sea, which is toward the east. And the Hinder Sea is the Mediterranean Sea, which is west. So if you have a map, you can look at that. That's interesting to look at the geography there, just to get that into your mind. And of course, the Dead Sea is fairly small in comparison. The Mediterranean Sea is quite large. But that's what that passage is talking about. So it might be good to even note that in your Bible, so you don't forget which seas we're talking about here. Former sea is the Dead Sea. It's toward the east. And the Hinder Sea is the Mediterranean Sea, which is west. We get a clear picture of this river flowing out of Jerusalem in Ezekiel 47. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 47. This is a little bit of a longer passage here, but very important to look at. Again, giving us a very clear picture of this river flowing out of Jerusalem. And this again will happen after Christ returns to this earth. Ezekiel 47, and starting right there in verse 1. It says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." So here Ezekiel has this image in his mind, this vision, and he is seeing the temple after Christ returns. And he's getting a look at it. Verse 2 says, "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side." So here are these waters coming out of Jerusalem, and they're coming right out from God's very own temple. Verse 3 says, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles." So they're going a distance here and seeing the depth of the waters. They're starting out fairly shallow. Verse 4 says, "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees." So this is, you know, if you've been in a swimming pool, you know, you have the different depths. And you have the shallow end all the way to the deep end. Well, as they go out on this river here, they started at the very shallow end, coming right out of God's temple. It's getting deeper and deeper as it goes. Verse 5 says, "Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." So you got to swim in this water. It's deep now. We're in the deep end. Verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen this? And then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other." So beautiful, beautiful trees on both sides of this river. Verse 8 says, "Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed." Remember all the pollution we were talking about earlier? So much pollution in the waters. "The waters shall be healed." A pure fountain, a pure source of water coming right out of God's temple in Jerusalem. Healing, healing waters. Verse 9 says, "And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes." Verse 10, "And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto Englim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many." So if you like fishing, this is a great picture for you as well. Lots of fish, and they're going to be caught, and they're going to be used, and it's going to be a wonderful living river. Verse 11 says, "But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt." Verse 12, finally it says, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. These are some good trees. You can eat the fruit of these trees. The leaves are for medicine. They're for healing. These are amazing trees. This is an amazing river. They're full of fish. It lives. It's living waters. It starts out very shallow, coming out of God's temple in Jerusalem. And then it goes and it becomes this great river, so great that you can't pass over it. You'd have to swim in it. And it brings healing. Healing waters. What an amazing picture. Living waters from Jerusalem. That's just incredible. Wouldn't you like to spend some time by that river? I certainly would. You know, reading these passages, I can picture this river. And I mean, obviously, you probably have a picture in your mind as well of a living river, a healing river. No more mosquitoes by the river. Things that can be irritating today. No more pollutants by the river. We won't have to look down into the water and see, you know, somebody's old can that they threw in there that they were drinking something out of, or plastic bottles or whatever. Sometimes you go to an area that you hope would be nice, and it's polluted, and there's problems with it. This won't be like those situations. This is a healing river, healing waters, beautiful waters. And everything that it touches lives. Even yesterday, I was driving locally and passed by some water that was pretty stagnant and tepid just off the highway. It just looked terrible. It was dead, or looked to be dead. Certainly wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. I want to get away from those waters. I don't want to know what's in those waters. But this is healing waters. I really want to be by a flowing, living water source. You look at some of the places that people love to go just to vacation or to relax. It's by water. And this is going to be healing waters, living waters coming out of Jerusalem. These living waters from Jerusalem are going to heal the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, which is about 1,360 feet below sea level, is the lowest spot on the earth. And many people have been able to go there and see that location. Maybe you have as well. You can look at any map of this area and notice that the Jordan River empties into the northern extremity of the Dead Sea. Even though the Dead Sea has no outlet, the water level is gradually subsiding, and that's because of evaporation and increasing amounts that are siphoned off from the Jordan River for agricultural and other reasons. So the Dead Sea today is not a living sea. That's why it's called dead. The water in this sea is so heavily laden with salt and other minerals that no plant or marine life can survive in it. But that's going to change. When this new river, the River of Living Waters, begins to empty into the Dead Sea, its waters will rise until they overflow southward through the desert. The overflow will probably carry into the Gulf of Aqaba. You can look at a map and get some indication. Everywhere along the overflow area, except for certain salt swamps and marshes, which shall be formed, which we read about there in verse 11, plant and fish life will multiply. Amazing. I mean, I want to be there to see that river grow and expand and build. How exciting to see it. You know, here comes the stream, and then it grows and expands, and now it's a living river. Now, why do these living waters flow from Jerusalem? Well, of course, that's where Christ and his bride will be at that time after Christ returns. This is where God's temple will be, in Jerusalem. We had a vision of that there in Ezekiel. This water is also representative of spiritual healing that will flow from Jerusalem to the whole world. It's the physical healing and the physical water is an amazing picture, but it also pictures something much more important than that, spiritual healing. And we'll take a look at that spiritual healing right after this short break. You are listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. If you'd like to catch up on past episodes of Live by Every Word or any of the programming here on KPCG, you can find that online at thetrumpet.com or at kpcg.fm. We have our podcasts there. Or iTunes, anything you'd like to use, you can find those podcasts. We've been talking today about when Christ returns, how the waters are going to be healed. There's going to be healing waters coming out of Jerusalem. And I don't know about you, maybe a little thirsty for some good water today. Thankfully, I have some. And so water is so essential and it's so necessary. And there's going to be healing waters coming from Jerusalem after Christ returns. And there's a picture there that goes far beyond just water. Water is so vitally important physically. But there's a picture here of something spiritual. The river of living waters proceed from the spot where God's temple will stand, Christ's very throne. So that's where these physical waters are going to come from. Let's take a look at that in Joel 3 and verse 18. And we'll begin to get a look at the spiritual picture here as well. Joel 3 and verse 18. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," again, we're talking about Christ's return, "that the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Eternal, and shall water the valley of Shittim." It's amazing. There's going to be these waters, and they come forth out of the house of the Eternal. They come out of God's temple. That's where Christ is going to be. That's where his throne is. And that's where the bride of Christ is going to be. The Bible compares God's Holy Spirit to living waters. God's Holy Spirit is compared to living waters. We begin to get a picture here of something far more important than just physical waters. We're looking now at God's Holy Spirit as well. Notice this. The Bible reveals this. John 4 and verse 10. This is Christ, and he was talking to a Samaritan woman. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." You remember the story there. Christ came, and she was drawing water from the well. And they had this conversation, and this very famous passage here where Christ says, you know, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would have asked of me and he would have given her living water. What does he mean by that? He wasn't talking about physical water. He was talking about God's Holy Spirit, the gift of God, the gift of God. That's God's Holy Spirit. Notice down a few pages over John 7, verses 37 and 39, Christ again says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 gives us the explanation of what this means. It says, "But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Christ was prophesying here about the last great day. And in the fulfillment of the last great day, all those that have lived and died and have not known the truth of God, have not had access to God's Holy Spirit, at that time they will have access to God's Spirit And that's after the millennium. They will have access at that time to God's Spirit. And so he was prophesying about that time. And again, notice how he refers to God's Spirit. Rivers of living water. And the reason he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, is because God's Spirit flows through people. Mr. Armstrong wrote much about that, about how God's Spirit travels on a circuit from God through the person that is using the God's Spirit, and then it flows outward, and it produces fruits. It produces fruits. The Holy Spirit, like the physical river, will go forth from Jerusalem and will heal the mental and spiritual problems of mankind. There's a healing that this world needs. We need our physical waters healed, no doubt, but we need God's Spirit. And that's the ultimate picture of these healing waters. There are going to be those physical healing waters, but there's also going to be God's Holy Spirit, which is going to heal the problems of this world. And there are mental problems today, mental issues that people struggle with. The recent statistics show that 10.3 million U.S. adults experienced an episode that resulted in severe impairment in the past year, talking about depression. So severe impairment to where they really couldn't function very well. Nearly 50% of all people diagnosed with depression are also diagnosed with anxiety disorder. And they estimate that 15% of the adult population will experience depression at some point in their lifetime. Not to get depressing here, this is a positive subject, but just to give some numbers, and those are just maybe people that have, say, what they would consider severe depression, where it becomes an issue. Depression, violence, different problems that you see every day in the news. It's just, you know, so many difficulties. So having depression or being addicted to something, that is like living in the midst of polluted, tepid waters. There's not pure water there. It's disgusting. It's dying. It's dead. It's polluted waters. But God's Holy Spirit will heal these problems. Remember how we read in Ezekiel 47 about those trees on either side of the river? And that water flows out of Jerusalem. There's this great river, and there's trees on either side of the river. And they have fruit in their season, and their leaves are for healing. They produce good fruits. Well, consider the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. And you can also compare it, if you read the whole chapter, to the fruits of the flesh, and the carnal fruits that are produced. It gives you a picture of that too, but we're focusing here on the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. These are the fruits that God's Spirit will produce in mankind. Verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's no law against those. There's no punishment for that because those are good fruits. Those are good fruits. Those are the fruits that come from God's Holy Spirit. Those physical healing waters that'll come out of the temple in Jerusalem after Christ returns, they're going to heal all the waters. They're going to produce trees that produce good fruits. The proper education system, the government, all of it flowing right there out of Jerusalem. God giving his Holy Spirit to people in the millennium. And it's going to produce these fruits of the Holy Spirit. These fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now clearly the world tomorrow will be a utopian paradise of peace, prosperity, and beauty. Physically and spiritually. All nations, everybody will share in the great blessings of God if they obey God. And that's, of course, something we all have to do. The whole world will be at peace. During that millennial age, most of the Earth's land surface will be used for farming. You'll be able to grow wonderful, delicious crops on it. There's going to be beautiful forests, agricultural areas. Fish-filled lakes and streams will be found all over the world. No more barren tundras, no more polluted rivers, ravaged landscapes, hostile deserts, or waste places, which are so common today. I mean, what a picture. That's a world that everyone would want to go to. If you could offer a travel package to a place like that today, you'd sell out very quickly. Everybody wants to go to a place like this. And it's coming. There will be physical healing of the earth, and also at the same time, there will be the spiritual healing of mankind. And we need pure physical water, and we need God's Holy Spirit flowing in our lives today. And you can have that. You can have access to that. If God opens your mind to his truth and calls you, and God has to do the calling, then a person's mind can be opened and receive God's Holy Spirit. There's a great book to look at thetrumpet.com. It's a little booklet, actually, just What Do You Mean Conversion? That talks about what does it mean to be really converted? What does it mean to actually have God's Holy Spirit? It's different than a lot of people think. And you can get all the insight you need to that topic in just What Do You Mean Conversion? But soon, at Christ's return, God's Spirit will be open to this whole world. What a wonderful picture. Wonderful, pure waters, healing waters, and God's Holy Spirit. The world being healed physically and spiritually. The time's not too far away from us now. That's all the time we have for today on Live By Every Word. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.